So hi, everybody. Thanks for the introduction. My name is Markus Ketal. I'm working at the University of Osnabrück at the Center for Information Management and Virtual Teaching. And my talk is about our self-developed open source lecture recording framework, how we produce content in an automatic way, and also about user studies. We were working with lecture recordings or podcasting since 2003 now, and it's not only iTunes and LMS and course website and stuff like that. We have also working with all kinds of the problems, starting in the lecture halls due to the professors. So, give you a short overview about my talk. It's first, I'll tell you something about the lecture recording system, the backend and the interfaces, and about the automatic content production. Then I will tell you something how Osnabrück or parts of the northern universities are dealing with content. I will tell you something about content distribution. And I will tell you something about usage data and how students work with our content, because we are not only providing podcasts, we're also providing fine granulated web lectures. And in the end, I will compare different platforms. We have blogs, wikis, we have the iTunes, we have course websites, and we also dealing with Facebook. We have content inside Facebook as so-called social network application, where we include our lecture recordings. So let's start in the lecture hall. As I told you, it's a really automatic system that is installed in our lecture rooms. We recording video and audio. We recording PowerPoint presentations. We're also doing screen capturing. And the system is able to record the content and do all the preparation for publishing and providing the stuff on the service. There's normal web servers and streaming servers, as well as iTunes and YouTube as well. And in the end, what we produce is firstly, and our main focus, our web lectures that can be reused in very, very different ways. I will show you some examples. And as well as a bonus, some podcast versions. We have audio, video, and also enhanced podcast that can be created automatic out of the lecture recording framework. Just to give you a short overview, how it looks like, how the system looks like, and we have mainly four parts. We have on the right side here the lecturer in the lecture hall who does the preparation, and we have a facility that is able to record. We have this recording equipment in the lecture hall. We have different servers that do the processing and also the distribution. And the lecturer has full control to start the lecture and stop the lecture. He also, when the lecturer stops the lecture, the whole process is stopped. And maybe if something failed or if the lecturer doesn't feel comfortable, he can just stop the whole thing and no lecture is recorded. So as I told in the beginning, the processes are fully automated. After 1 hour or something like that, we have the media ready on the servers. We have additional metadata that is stored in our audio and video repository, which we call Lernfunk in Germany. It's for the whole university to keep the content ordered and to keep all the information in a centralized database. So it becomes easy to find the content afterwards. Yeah. And the recording system is scalable because we are running most of the machines are Linux-based and open source-based. So the system is scalable if you have to have more lecture rooms provided with the equipment. This is a typical screenshot of one of our web lecture interfaces. We have the ability for the students to subscribe to a playlist, something like a lecture series. So this is a so-called accordion box. We have the playlist of the students with the slide titles, and we have also the ability to fully search through the lecture recordings, so students can search for specific term, and almost immediately we will have the outcomes. This is the content distribution for our lecture recording framework of Oslo Brook at the moment. We have, as I told, web lecture interfaces. We're dealing with different podcast versions. We have our course websites. We also have full integration in the LMS, which is the main focus for our recordings, because in our over the years it became obvious that only about 20% of our recordings are really public available. The rest has to be kept away in the LMS or somewhere in a university system. And we're also dealing with the iTunes store, and iTunes is now available in Germany at the iTunes University, I think, since a couple of weeks now. And a lot of universities are building their own university, iTunes University store now. And we also have some recordings in YouTube. What is special about the situation in Oslo Brook is that we have a so-called block farm. We have about 500 students and lecturer blocks that are centralized in a so-called university block farm, where students and lecturers can discuss the recordings online if they want. On the right side, we have this is just another view state of our web interface. It's a so-called embed player, which is also able to play only a small snippet of a full web recording. So if you think about a lecture recording that is typically 1.5 hour, nobody is listening, because students normally are only interested maybe in 20 minutes of the recording. Our system is able to cut out just essential parts and embed it in our university block systems. This is just another view. You can use the player to switch between the slides and the video, and you can also go, I call it home, with the Word Presenter home button to go to the complete lecture recording. So, for example, if you have only 20 minutes in the block and the student wants to know more about the lecture, she's able to go back to the whole recording. Third, production chain adds additional info for the content use. We have, as I told you in the beginning, our centralized audio video content repository, which is called Lernfunk, where we handle all the recordings and all the metadata to find it afterwards. And on the right side, we have the WitPresenter Facebook integration, which is programmed by the social network application group at the university, where we research out user awareness, what happens if people are learning together. We have on the right side here a so-called people scrubber. You use the normal video scrubber, and you see your friends online. I'm not sure if you can see the small pictures here. This is photos from other students that are also online on the same course at the same time. You can ask questions. You can use the Facebook chat, and you can use the Facebook forum integration and all the cool stuff that Facebook has built in to reuse it for lecture recordings. It's also possible to enhance Wikipedia with multimedia. So if you like this one, the Towers of Hanoi, which is a typical computer science problem, we can put small lecture recording snippets, not the whole episode, but just a part of a lecture recording that fits exactly to this problem here. And people can watch a multimedia demonstration of a professor that explains the algorithm there. You can see here it's only 1 minute and 40 seconds, so it's exactly this part of the lecture that's dealing with this algorithm problem. We are very interested to see how the students work with our content. So 2 years ago, we started a research collaboration with the University of Pittsburgh, with Peter Prozelowski, about social navigation support, and we call it social generated footprints. So we see online which parts of the lecture recording have been watched by how many people. So we can identify the important parts of a lecture. It's not quite surprising if you think about a 1.5 hour lecture that there are some parts that might be more interesting and some parts are maybe boring. And with this feature, we are able to see which parts are really watched by the students. And we can reuse this information for really small podcast versions, for example, like the problem we had in the beginning that no one would listen longer than 50 minutes or 20 minutes. This is one solution to handle this. It's just another screenshot. We have seen here 16 people were online here in this screenshot, and you see how the footprints work. It's also possible to extract parts online. So a student or a lecturer can just move this graphics here to mark a special part in the lecture, and students or lecturers can move this snippet to a personal bookmark section. And this bookmarks can be reused in many different ways, like embedding it in a blog or a wiki or Wikipedia, or even we can export them as podcast versions. And of course, the social footprints can assist students or the lecturer to create these bookmarks. So it becomes possible to only import very fine-grained and small snippets, like here. We have 50 seconds of a normally 1.5 hour talk in a blog discussion. So it's very fine granulated. To say something about our usage analysis, we made an experiment over the last weeks. We started in November until now. We had around 11 different lecture series online, with about 110 available lectures and conference recordings. And this were the users. In the first week of November, we had about 700 users in the web interface online, and so on. Most of the users were from the first semester computer science course. And we were interested in which platform is used by the students, or where do they watch the content. On the right side, we have the weekly playtime in hours of parts of our content. It's not all content, but only a small amount of our recorded content. And what we see is that we have the average weekly playtime is about 300 hours a week. And we have here is the holiday break. And the second break is the end of the semester term. And what's interesting is that the students are, it looks like that the students are watching the lecture recordings during the complete semester and not only for final exam preparation or things like that. And on the left side here, we check the distribution channels. We have 73% that's using our main web lecture interface for watching the recordings. And we have only 4% at the moment in Facebook. So currently, it seems that it's not so important to include lecture recordings in Facebook. And we also have 22% included in blogs and wikis. So so the fact suggests that the embed play is already well accepted by both students and lecturers, even if we didn't do much adverts for that. It's just used. And one open question is still if web lectures were this podcast or streaming were this download. For us, podcasts is just a bonus. We had a survey for external listeners in the beginning of 2007 to see how people are working with our podcast recordings, because if you use podcasts, you normally don't get feedback of users. You just put it somewhere that the files are downloaded, and you have no idea what people are doing with your podcasts. So we have made a special podcast episode and ask the users to participate in an online survey. And after 1 hour, we had 30 answers. After 1 week, 300 answers. So was quite amazing. The network traffic, I think I skipped this because of the time. It's nothing special because, you see, when we started with iTunes and podcasting in 2006, we had these peaks around December and January, and our university was really angry because we produced so much network traffic, around 630 gigabytes each day, only for the video podcast. Questions: how do you use podcasts? Which devices do you use? We had 82% of the students use them on laptops or PC. External users, 85% use on laptops. We also asked if students have mobile devices, if you, students really have mobile devices. So we had students 15% and external users 80%. So it's for Germany. The one other question was, do you watch the whole episodes or just parts? So the answers were, students don't want to see whole episodes. And on the outside, 84% want to see whole episodes. So the number was 58 students and external users around 368. What about the mobile learning? We heard a lot about mobile learning. Most of the students learn at home, not on the go. And it's just the same for the external users. So they're sitting in front of the laptops or in front of the computers and not sitting there and watching on the small screens on their iPods or iPhones. So this is what we found out over the years. So my last slide. Everything is available online. Olaf Schulte from ETH Zurich will tell you about the OpenCast project and the Matterhorn. Our system will be part, our framework will be part of the so-called Matterhorn software and the OpenCast community. Info is called Help Publications about research and about our system. It can be found at bitpresenter.org. And available lecture recordings and webcasts are also online, landfunk.de. So that's all. So the thing is that in the beginning of each semester, we train the lecturers. We show them where they can walk, and that's all. That's the whole trick, because otherwise we had to do some really crazy stuff with the cameras. And in our scenario, we don't have the money or the time to have people in the lecture rooms to do the camera handling. So it has to be automatic, and that's the trick here. We trained the lecturers in the beginning just to not to walk in the whole lecture hall when they're doing the lecture.
Another staff development session, I think. Tying your feet to the floor.
In Manchester Metropolitan University, we've got similar systems. We use our V6.
Okay.
What we found problems with capturing video being displayed on the screen.
Yeah.
Do you have any issues like that?
So we have, but I have my expert here from Osnabrück as well, because when it comes to the backends, to the video capturing, he's really the expert. And if we have further questions on the video cards and the tricks and codecs and how we do things, Rüdiger Rolf is a good expert in this field.